Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
June the 5th. We have in the news this morning the alleged ringleader in this string of grab and go thefts has been arrested, and we're learning new details. And this was, according to the authorities, detectives, something that was happening across not just Center City, Philadelphia, but the suburbs as well. So they say this group, and we've talked about all of these retail thefts and the impact of these thefts. Well, police say the group actually used a 9-year-old little girl to carry out some of these thefts, totaling at least $75,000. So two more arrests have now been made in connection with this. Really, it's a ring, if you will, a theft ring of these grab-and-go thefts in across Philadelphia Center City, as well as suburban Montgomery County. In KOP, for example, they're still looking for seven more people, but now there are two in custody, and as well, the alleged leader of the group, a 19-year-old young woman named Shania Robinson. The other suspect ID'd is 24-year-old Ayana Robinson. The two women are not related, but they say that the ringleader here would recruit people without any criminal record, including young people, teenagers, and yes, even this 9-year-old little girl.
What an elaborate scheme this was. Man.
Well, and the latest one, and we had talked about this. Remember the one where the security guards at KOP Mall, and I think it was the Givenchy store, mm-hmm. where they sprayed some kind of pepper spray in their faces, and they had to be treated at the hospital and all of that. But so that was the one where they had contact with, you know, security trying to limit people coming into the store because they've had so much of this theft coming in.
Right, right.
So this has been plaguing, you know, stores across the area. A lot of the employees are told not to photograph, not to go after anybody. But in a couple of cases, we know that there were interactions with security guards. So they're looking for the others involved in this. It was a primary day in New Jersey. And we had Representative Andy Kim. He won the Democrat Party's nomination for the U.S. Senate seat yesterday in New Jersey, teeing up the general election contest coming up in November, obviously, against a wealthy, successful hotel operator, Curtis Bashaw, on the Republican side, who had defeated the Trump-backed candidate for the Republican nod. And remember, we told you yesterday that incumbent Democrat Senator Bob Menendez, he will also be on the ballot after declaring his intention to run as an independent.
Yep. Gotta love the guy's gumption, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He just doesn't give a you know what, and he's just gonna run.
Yep.
I mean, there's something to be admired by that level of corruption, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And just not caring.
Yeah. You just give zero Fs and you just keep plowing ahead.
Can you imagine?
It's almost, I don't know, is plausible deniability the right phrase? I'm not sure if it is, but I mean, this is a guy who just literally, I mean, but so many guys are like that. They no matter what the drama is, it's almost like it's not even impacting their daily lives.
Throw the wife under the bus and be done with it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dawn.
The wife with the stage 3 cancer.
I know. Just wrong, man.
Yeah, and speaking of that, he's in the midst of his federal corruption trial. This entire turmoil surrounding Senator Menendez, creating the possibility, though, of a real headache for Democrats in a state where they haven't lost an election for the Senate since 1972. Because what if Menendez, being an independent, but obviously a well-known big name, does he split the vote, and thus does he tee up a victory for Republican Curtis Bashaw?
52 years since a Republican won? Wow. Some places, man. It's like 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. Yeah, keep voting, D. What are you going to do?
Well, we know that today, and I know we're going to talk about this, but in the local Wilmington, Delaware trial of Hunter Biden. We heard yesterday of how badly he was addicted to crack cocaine, teeing up for today in his trial, federal trial locally. His ex-wife among those expected to take the stand. There were some fireworks about a statement his current wife made to somebody who's a reporter, podcaster. I know we'll get into it, so I'll just
you effing Nazi. That up.
By the way, the laptop that never existed that was Russian disinformation officially entered as Exhibit 16 into evidence yesterday.
Mm. Yeah, just after 2 o'clock yesterday. I know it was Miranda Devine. It was kind of a victory lap moment for her yesterday afternoon. You think of the New York Post, the way they were vilified.
Does she get to, can we retroactively go back and give her awards that she should have won for her reporting and journalism, since it wasn't apparently a real thing?
Right. It was imaginary,
right,
until yesterday. So about 2:10, 2:15, they started in the FBI, you know, bringing out the laptop, saying, yes, this is the laptop. They know it from the serial number. So we heard a lot about Hunter's laptop, Hunter's crack addiction. And today it'll be the ex-wife is expected to take the stand. Hey, Temple University is now exploring some opportunities, they say, to merge with the soon-to-be-shut-down University of the Arts.
Oh, for God's sake.
So they're picking up the leftovers of the arts? What are they doing here? This is my alma mater. You've piqued my interest now.
Well, this is a smart move, because University of the Arts, going back to what, the 1870s, they own a ton of prestigious buildings, property, and so if Temple can figure out a merger where they save the school, because the school's supposed to close this Friday. This erupted very quickly. Students had no notice. So we do have the Temple trustees. They are confirming the information regarding some kind of a merger. They had reached out to Governor Josh Shapiro, Mayor Sherelle Parker here in Philadelphia. They're trying to see if they can do something to create a merger where they save the University of the Arts.
Why are we trying to save the University of the Arts? Let it die. Who cares?
You're so anti-art.
Who cares? And this is from a guy, look, I grew up with a counterculture. Like, I love the arts. I love music. That's my jam. Mm-hmm. But guys, there's no future in it. I'm just sorry. I'm sorry. There's not.
I was watching that video again that we played yesterday of those kids graduating from that other art school with all those made up majors.
Just stop with this. No.
Well, if you can pick up some property for pennies on the dollar, I don't blame them.
Trade school, law school, medical school. I'm for all of that. I'm for, you know, a 4-year degree if it's going to help you. But like a degree in some fine arts thing will get you nothing.
Maybe they should merge with, like, you know, law enforcement and do more to secure their campus. That would be a nice start before you start acquiring buildings.
Well, think about what you just mentioned. Think about Temple and, you know, think about where the main campus is. But what if they have this campus here? What? We don't hear about crime at U of A, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I have some relatives who went there. So if this is a real estate, it's,
yes.
Don't think about the degree. It's a real estate grad.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I get you. That's actually a brilliant idea.
Yep.
I was going to say Temple should concentrate more on security for its students.
Yeah.
But yeah, if they're going to move it over to Fairmount, I think that's a great idea.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and other properties, very valuable.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
So we'll watch that one very carefully. I know they're working on it. A lot of students obviously upset that stinks. Their president.
Who?
No, but their president suddenly resigned. I think there are calls for an investigation. Mismanagement, what happened here?
Yeah.
So we'll watch for that one. We have our Phils beating the Brewers 2-1.
What a game last night, too. 10 innings.
Woo!
Yeah.
So very exciting. It's very foggy, especially in South Jersey this morning. So some visibility issues still going on, we're hearing about. But as far as your forecast, man, it feels like summer. We're mid-80s through this week, although last night felt like October. So in the night, we're going down to the, you know, low 60s, and then we're popping up well into the mid-80s, 84 degrees today with a chance for some showers. Not a washout, but more rain to come tomorrow. So we're watching that very carefully. As I said, we're sponsored by Wawa this morning. Wawa has pizza. If you haven't heard, it is made fresh. It tastes great. Now the price is great too. Get the pizza you crave starting $7.99, $7.99. But remember, after 4 p.m., gotta have a Wawa. Thank you, Wawa, for sponsoring our first edition of Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:13, let's get to a midweek big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, the big take this morning, Donald Trump's best endorsement yet. You know, it's not too often that the incumbent president gives his political adversary and upcoming election challenger a strong endorsement. Yet that is exactly what we have. Joe Biden has just endorsed Donald Trump, and the Trump campaign should run with this in ads until the cows come home. 3.5 years after the Biden administration dismantled everything the Trump administration accomplished at the southern border, the big guy has reversed course after allowing over 10 million illegal immigrants into America in a pathetic attempt to appeal to the American public that our border is secure. Must be election season. This is also strategic for the month of June as well, with the first debate scheduled 3 weeks from tomorrow on Thursday, June 27th. But this is an insult to the intelligence of Americans who have paid even the slightest bit of attention to the border crisis in the United States. And never forget the date of January 20th, 2021. The White House press briefing with the headline that read as follows, quote, proclamation of the termination of emergency with respect to the southern border of the United States and redirection of funds diverted to border wall construction, end quote. Biden administration pauses deportations for 100 days and suspends remain in Mexico policy for asylum seekers. The changes come on the president's first day in office, where he earlier signed multiple executive orders rolling back additional Trump-era immigration policies. That was January 20th, 2021. Here's a flashback to September 23rd, 2021, as DHS dimwit Alejandro Mayorkas took a victory lap on MSNBC. Listen and watch this.
And I'd like to understand from you what Trump-era immigration policies have been banned, ended, reversed, and if any investigations are underway by you.
So we have rescinded so many Trump immigration policies, it would take so much time to list them.
And you have the blood of so many innocent American citizens and victims on your hands. It would take me too much time to list them, Alejandro. I thought Fauci made my skin crawl, but this guy takes it to a different level. Bill Malusian of Fox News, who has been staked out at the border seemingly forever, had this information to share yesterday on X, quote, in no way can Biden's executive order be described as shutting down the border. It bans asylum to some illegal crossers with some exceptions, and it does not stop or slow up the 1,500 migrants per day released into the U.S. via the CBP One app at ports of entry, and does not stop or slow the up to 30,000 migrants per month flying directly into the U.S. and being released into the country via Biden's controversial mass parole program for Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans. Unaccompanied children and minors are exempt from the order, which will lead to concerns about child trafficking, and migrants can still claim fear in an attempt to avoid deportation. Also, asylum has already been banned for most migrants who cross illegally since the end of Title 42 last year, and that hasn't stopped them from coming. The highest numbers in recorded history, end of 2023. That is a tweet from Bill Malusian of Fox News. Here was the binder yesterday in spin mode, talking and rambling in circles, providing the American public with nothing. Listen and watch this.
So look, I don't have anything to announce on all the reporting that's out there about what you just asked me about an EO and immigration. What I can say is we are constantly and will continuously look at all options to try and really deal with the immigration system, a system that's been broken for decades. You've heard the president say this. You heard the president take action. You saw the president take action on the first day of his tenure here as president when he put forward a comprehensive piece of legislation. I do not have anything to announce. And you saw this is a president who wants to fix this, who wants to deal with the broken immigration system.
One of the top two biggest issues for the Biden administration and Karine Jean-Pierre, just she can't really give you anything. It's just staggering. But one person who can speak on this is a man who has been there all along, and he has seen with firsthand knowledge what's going on at the border. And that's National Border Patrol Council VP Art Del Cueto. Listen and watch Art.
It's quite a mess, and people need to understand that that mess was created by this administration. And if they were going to allow so many individuals to come into the country and ask for asylum, they surely had to have come up with a plan for those individuals that would not have an actual asylum claim. And once again, they didn't even plan for that. So when you start talking about mass deportations, that's obviously something that this administration should have thought of in the first place. Not everyone that's asking for asylum has a real asylum claim. In fact, the majority of them don't. So somebody's got a plan for them to go to the actual court case and show what their claim is. And unfortunately, you're just getting more smoke and mirrors by this current administration right now. I mean, you remember they had that FAST app at the border. That didn't work out. Again, I think it's just them reaching out, continuing to baffle the American public because they realize that, you know, they created the mess and elections are coming up.
The FAST app at the border that didn't work. Imagine having an app for something as important as national security. But no, the Biden administration, they treat the southern border like a Starbucks drive-thru. According to Axios, the executive order will rely on part of the U.S. code called 212F. It will enable border officials to quickly turn back migrants who illegally cross the border without a chance at asylum when border crossings meet a certain threshold. This asylum shutdown would occur once illegal border crossings reach an average of 2,500 per day, the AP first reported, and sources familiar confirmed to Axios. The restrictions are expected to go into effect immediately once the order is officially finalized, and government officials had discussed capping the number actually higher at 4,000 or 5,000 average crossings a day in earlier months. And of course, the order mirrors a bipartisan border deal that was struck earlier this year, which Republicans killed at the direction of former President Donald Trump. Trump is aiming again to focus his presidential campaign on the border issue, which ranks high amongst concerns for voters. And look, I don't blame Trump. I don't blame Republicans for playing hardball in year four of the Biden administration. Why would anyone in the GOP at this late stage of the game give the Democrats a political get out of jail for free card? So, oh, now you want to get serious on national security? No, it doesn't work that way. You neglected it and you negated it for 3.5 years. I'll deal with it for 6 more months if it means defeating the Democrats. And of course, the New York Times is back to carrying Biden's water. The headline reading, quote, President Biden's expected order would represent the most restrictive border policy instituted by him or any modern Democrat. You want to talk about spin control? Meanwhile, New York's finest are dealing with more attacks on their life as an illegal immigrant from Venezuela shoots two NYPD officers during a foot chase in Queens, New York. This after the Biden administration just 2 days ago quietly dismissed 350,000 asylum applications from immigrants since 2022. And just remember, everybody, we were told that the wall was racist. A secure border is racist. Remember that? But did you know that 1 out of every 5 New York City hotels right now are shelters for illegal immigrants? That is 135 out of the 680 hotels in New York are shelters. So when you want to take your wife to New York, but you can't afford to spend the night in the Big Apple, you can thank Biden and his border disaster for the current rates with hotels. But here's the deal. If Republicans want to start fighting fire with fire, as we've talked about many times on this show, they should start going after the Biden administration in the courts and having governors, attorney generals, and local prosecutors criminally charging the Democrats in cases where an American citizen was assaulted, victimized, or sadly killed. It's called an accessory. Charge them with it. The left weaponized the courts to go after Trump. The GOP should do the same to Democrats, right? Nah, but they won't. They'll just continue to do the same old, useless measures that they always do, as more Americans needlessly keep ending up on the receiving end of an open border and the security risks that follow. Because after all, it's all about replacing you, and they've said that out loud as well. And that's the big take.
The big take. on Kale and Company.
All right, big take this morning. If you want to jump in, your thoughts and reactions, certainly welcomed. 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210WPHD. And, of course, in the YouTube chat, it's the Kale and Company comment community. Just go to youtube.com/at1210WPHD and hit the like and subscribe buttons. We'll come back, get some thoughts on that. I also have Trump and the Trump campaign, the administration, their official statement on Biden's border disaster from yesterday. We'll get to that, as well as a big fundraising month for Trump in the month of May. As we roll on, it's Kale and Company live on a Wednesday morning. Talk Radio 1210WPHD.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
Good to have all of you in a busy show this morning. We've got the cut sheet at 7:45, Tony Bruno at 8:30, our veteran spotlight coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Of course, our music playlist this week, courtesy of our pal Ken Beatty, U.S. Coast Guard retired member. He's a big donor, big donation to the Travis Mannion Foundation, as he dropped a lot of cash, and Stocker said, send me an email with all the music you want to play. And we've got it here, and we've been doing it all week, and we'll continue tomorrow and Friday. But I want to get to some conversation here on the border, and I've got the Trump campaign's official statement here as well that I'll read for you in a moment. And yesterday, to me, was just ultimate peak politicking. It's 5 months before the election. It's 3 weeks before a debate. This is all by design. This is completely strategic out of the Biden administration. And if you can't see that, I can't help you. I think most people that have paid attention realize what this is. But here's the thing that's a concern for me is I understand that the three of us on this show, we live politics. We just consume it and digest it in the news cycle every day. But for the average Joe out there that does not, then all of a sudden it's, I don't know, late July, it's early August, and the average Joe's reading the Wall Street Journal, or he's looking at a story on Yahoo News, and he sees, oh, border crossings down, border secure, and he goes, oh, yeah, Biden really came through. He got tough when he needed to get tougher. Oh, this is a right-wing talking point. That's the concern for me, is the people that are disconnected that will all of a sudden just consume the new numbers in the next couple of months and think everything's all hunky-dory, when in reality, Don, we know that it's not, and we know what's going on here based on the timing of this on June 4th. And that's like, that to me, that's the dead giveaway. That's the big takeaway from yesterday, because this guy came in on January 20th, 2021, and just dropped a nuke on everything Trump accomplished. Yeah. And then 3.5 years later, it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to get semi-serious on it now.
Well, what you just brought up is the question that everybody should ask. Well, if he could do this now, why didn't he do it before? Why now?
Never needed Republicans to do this. It's called executive orders. You pull out a pen, boom.
So he could have done it all along. So what were you waiting for? And then the other issue that I have is this issue that, you know, they talk about asylum, but that they quietly just allowed all these asylum seekers, basically gave them a blank check, if you will. And that was what the latest number was, 250,000. So to clear the dockets and make the bottom line look better, it's almost like when we talk about the alleged manipulation of crime stats in, you know, a major city. And they put, you know, we talked to Sergeant Mark Fuzetti and many other experts about this happening, not just in Philadelphia, but cities across the country, where they might say, well, not for nothing, but we're not sure if this was a murder or what it was. We'll just put it in a separate little column, make our numbers look a little better. So in the same kind of light as that, let's say for the border issue, if you start taking those asylum seekers who you know of and you sort of clear them from the docket and give them a court date, they still have a court date, but basically they're like in asylum purgatory.
Yes.
They just,
that's exactly right.
Right. They just go out in the country and just go be you in America somewhere. And someday we'll get a hold of you and, you know, take you through the process.
Yep. And all you have to do is say, when you're seeking asylum, is you fear for your life. And then, you know, we always talk about the victimization pyramid and how females have to take a back seat to the LGBTQ community and the trans community, right? And that's the way that the pyramid works. Well, here with the border, with this mass immigration debacle, you know who's really screwed? It's the Americans in this country that are minorities that were given certain things like, you know, certain rec centers and things like that. And then they take a backseat to illegal immigrants. So this, there's a trickle down effect of who gets the shaft and who gets the boot. And now you have a lot of people that are citizens in this country taking a backseat to illegal immigrants, which should really tick off a lot of people that are depending on assistance and housing, you know, the homeless, things like that. And all of a sudden, you're a second-rate citizen for illegal migrants.
Biden came out yesterday and spoke. I was going to play a couple cuts on the cut sheet, but I'll play one right now. And to Dawn's point about asylum seekers, he mentioned that yesterday and basically said that asylum seekers are still available to thousands, thousands of illegals. Phil, if you want to pull up cut five, my friend, go.
Today, I'm announcing actions to bar migrants who cross our southern border unlawfully from receiving asylum. Migrants will be restricted from receiving asylum at our southern border unless they seek it after entering through an established lawful process. And those who seek to come to the United States legally, for example, by making an appointment and coming to a port of entry, asylum will still be available to them. Still available.
There you go.
And I love how the New York Times framed it. Joe Biden will be the toughest Democrat in modern American policy history of Democrats when it comes to the border, which goes to show you, if he's the toughest, I mean, what does that say about that party with national security? It says they don't care, because as we played you that clip many months ago, I forget her name, the lady in New York who's basically saying, no, we want people coming to this country. I need it for redistricting purposes. They're saying it out loud that you're being replaced. And they basically need new inventory, Dawn.
They do.
That's what they need.
New inventory, because we had such population loss in the blue areas.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the census and representation.
Yep.
I looked up that number I was referring to. Since Biden took office, more than 3.3 million migrants have been given that EAD, Employment Authorization Document. So it's basically known as the Federal Work Permit. And that's even though they did not even legally have the right to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just one of the many numbers that we're talking about as far as of February. Pending EAD applications stand at another 1.4 million.
Yep.
So they're just trying to clear all these millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, the numbers, sometimes you look it up and it's like, well, 11 million, then other numbers are 20 million. How many people have come into the country? Part of this is because of, look at, I just mentioned, so it's 4.4 million people. They take that off the docket when they're talking about, well, we're still processing all these individuals.
Yep.
So they don't play into the numbers.
Trump campaign National Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt releasing this statement on behalf of Donald Trump yesterday. Let's be clear. Joe Biden's executive order is for amnesty, not border security. After importing more than 15 million illegal aliens into our country and releasing countless criminal migrants who have brutally raped and murdered our citizens, this new order will facilitate the release of more illegals as quickly as possible with a smartphone app. The order also exempts minors from any enforcement, giving a green light to child traffickers and sex traffickers. If Joe Biden truly wanted to shut down the border, he could do so with a swipe of the same pen, but he will never, because he is controlled by radical left Democrats who seek to destroy America. Biden's illegal migrants are ravaging our nation and have caused a crime wave in every state, as proven this week by the Venezuelan illegal criminal who gunned down two brave NYPD officers. The border invasion and migrant crime will not stop until crooked Joe Biden is deported from the White House. That's from the Trump campaign yesterday. And as I mentioned earlier, if you're the Trump campaign, what I would do is I would be running a bunch of ads with, you know, the whole Lake and Riley murder. I would be bringing these NYPD officers in, Border Patrol agents. Anybody that has been in the headlines and adversely affected by the Biden border policy, I would run an ad blitz until people's heads explode, because, I mean, they've brought in a ton of money. And this is the other thing I wanted to mention here before we wrap up this segment. Following the guilty verdict for Trump, we know that he has brought in a slew of cash, and I've got some of the numbers here. As Monday, they announced that the RNC, fueled in part by former President Trump's guilty verdict in his criminal trial, hauled in a stunning $141 million in fundraising for the month of May. That's up from the $76 million that they raked in back in April when they topped Joe Biden and the DNC for the first time in their 2024 election rematch. And spotlighting the grassroots appeal, the campaign has said that the average dollar donation was $70.27. And oh, by the way, 25% of the donors in May are first-time contributors to Trump.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if that means that they're new voters or new Trump fans. They could have been Trump supporters for eight years.
I'm sure that's what it is.
Right, and never donated a dollar. I know a couple of my buddies that have actually donated in the past, and their phones blow up incessantly with, like, these automated texts about, can you make more contributions? Can you make more donations?
That's my phone.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, I guess it is believable because it's all about money and politics.
Well,
but
we said this, you know, you a couple weeks ago, you were writing or you're reading that article about the ad money that has been spent in swing states.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, the Trump campaign has not spent too much money.
No.
Here in Pennsylvania.
$70,000.
But they didn't need to because he was literally on the TV. He was on your TV every day for 2 months.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like giving press conferences at 9:30 and 5 o'clock. And he's like him having an ad, I think, does absolute because that's more window dressing than him being in the news every day. So I think they were smart to not spend a lot of ad money in these swing states while the trial was going on.
But you do expect it to occur now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, maybe towards by the end of the summer.
Yes.
As the fall picks up and people start to recheck back in with life once Labor Day passes.
Yeah, we're going to see it really kind of pick up, especially coming into the conventions, which start July 14th or 15th.
Yep.
And then the DNC, which starts at the end of August, August 19th or something. Mm-hmm. So I expect more ads to kind of flow into our zeitgeist by that point.
Yeah.
By the way, a group of anti-Trump Republicans, they're putting up "I won't vote for a convicted felon" billboards around Philadelphia this week.
I've seen pictures of them on social media, but I did not know that they were local. Wow.
They're going up, and I have not seen any.
Okay.
So I hope somebody calls in or takes a photo for us.
I saw
if you've seen it.
Yeah,
you know?
I've seen. There was a picture on social media. It was not like one of your typical fabric or cloth ones. It was one of those rotating digital ones because you could see like the lights and the LED lights to them. But I didn't know if that was in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, or somewhere throughout the country. Very interesting.
It's interesting to see how that place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the polls, whatever. I've seen polls that are up. I've seen polls that are down. I've seen polls. It's like a strip club.
Yeah.
but I'm very interested to see how this, because the Biden camp is running with a convicted felon. I mean, he said it in a speech the other day.
Yep.
So we know what the talking points are going to be. And it's going to be interesting to see if the June 27th thing happens, how much that gets brought up.
Yep. They are running on three different sets of words. One word being abortion, two words being convicted felon, and three words being threat to democracy. Right there is the Biden campaign for the next 4 months.
Daniel writes, "I donated it to Trump and I received 19 text messages yesterday asking for money."
It's unbelievable. I'm telling you, man. And I'm sure it's the same way on the other side as well.
Well, they need to stop that because it's going to make people, you know, unsubscribe.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Well, I mean, unsubscribe, block it, as long as it doesn't change your voting.
You can silence it.
Yeah. Yeah. I just block it. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, we'll come back, put a bow on the 6 o'clock hour, a quick recap of the Hunter Biden trial. If most people in America didn't care about Trump's trial, I'm not sure that many care about Hunter, but we do have a few details of the first son, and we'll get to that when we wrap up next. Here on Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
Game one of the NBA Finals starts tomorrow, 8:30, the Dallas Mavericks and the Boston Celtics. Barn burner of a series. So what a better way to watch these games, then put a little action on it with a FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Seriously, just put $5 on it. Makes watching the game way more interesting. Takes your mind off politics for an hour or two. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to use on same game parlays, live bets, championship futures, and so much more. There's no better place to bet on all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg to get started. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210 WPHD and the official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and over, present in PA. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expires 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
A lot of people, though, that want to weigh in on what Don just talked about with these billboards. And Ray in Warminster's got some exclusive Kale and Company reporting. Ray, good morning. How you doing, pal?
It's exclusive. I wish we had the sound of helicopter blades in the background. It would sound really cool. But anyway, I got on the turnpike at the Willow Grove exit going westbound, and I don't know, maybe like a mile or so up the road, I literally saw the billboard, and it was right before you guys mentioned it.
Wow. Okay.
So I noticed it. I'm like, wow, oh, look at that. Would you look at that?
Wow.
So
Trump,
so are you taking 276 westbound?
Yeah, 276 westbound. So the Willow Grove mile marker is like 342.
Okay.
I would say it's between 342 and 339.
Okay.
So westbound.
Yep. I know exactly where that's at.
Yeah, so I was like, well, there you go.
Well, there you go. Thank you very much, Ray. We got some visual confirmation.
Funny. That is funny.
Hasn't Been Sober says, I get about 12 texts a day begging for money for Trump. I'm going to donate some money and give my ex-wife's number, as she's very active in the Florida Democratic Party.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one. Send it to the... That's. Hey. You should send them to your mother-in-law, Nick. Come on, man.
Because Thanksgiving will go over really well if I do that. I'll be barred from the premises. All right, if you guys have thoughts, if you have any one thing you want to chime in with, you can do so at 855-839-1210. Do I have time to get to the Hunter stuff? Okay, just wanted to make sure. So there's a couple of things from yesterday. Hunter Biden and the trial officially underway following opening statements. As we know, he's on trial in Delaware for the three felony charges related to his efforts to obtain the firearm in 2018 while he was allegedly addicted to drugs. This is courtesy of ABC News. Two things that stood out yesterday. Number one, prosecutors presenting more of the angry text messages about the gun and the angry text message exchange between Hunter Biden and Haley Biden, and then also prosecutors introducing the infamous laptop as evidence. And I want to read this from Miranda Devine, who, if you think about it, she's been all over this for like countless years, back when this was labeled Russian disinformation.
She broke the story, right?
She's been on this for what, 6-7 years now? I mean, it's unbelievable. And she put out this tweet yesterday. Courtroom report, it's official. Hunter Biden's laptop from hell is Government Exhibit 16 at the First Son's gun trial in Delaware. The silver MacBook Pro covered in a plastic wrapper was first publicly cited today at 2:10 p.m. when it was carried across the court by prosecutor Derek Hines to his first witness, FBI Special Agent Erica Jensen, who confirmed it was Hunter Biden's laptop from the serial number on the back that corresponds with his iCloud identity. She said the laptop was obtained by the FBI with a subpoena from the Mac shop in Wilmington, where it had been, quote, abandoned by Hunter. She said that investigators corroborated content on the laptop with content in Hunter's iCloud that they obtained from Apple with a subpoena. Hines then proceeded to go through the WhatsApp and text messages and images and documents from the laptop and iCloud with Jensen to make his case that Hunter was using drugs before, during, and after the period that he bought and possessed the handgun after allegedly signing a background check and that form on October 12th, 2018, saying he was, quote, not a drug user. His then lover, Haley Biden, later threw the gun in a trash can. The jury kept unsmiling unfailing focus throughout the evidence, which showed Hunter spending $50,000 a month in ATM withdrawals during that period and organizing alleged purchases of crack cocaine. Hunter's disembodied voice filled the courtroom periodically as prosecutors played audiobook extracts from his memoir, and he remained impassive behind a pair of salmon pink reading glasses. Haley Biden will be a witness by the end of the week or next week after Hunter's ex, Kathleen Buell, and ex-lover Zoe Kesten. It is 3 years and 8 months since the New York Post broke the story of the laptop that was censored by big tech. A few days later, in October 2020, the Dirty 51 ex-Intel officials, mostly CIA, lied, and it was Russian disinformation. And then presidential candidate Joe Biden lied that it was a Russian plant. That is the long tweet from Miranda Devine. So I think the big thing here, Dawn, is we still have some journalists out there that do great work, and they've got a lot of things working against them, a lot of forces trying to prevent them from sharing the truth to the American public. But a Miranda Devine seems to be like a real one with the New York Post, that's for sure.
Yeah, she's the real deal. And think about how the so-called mainstream media, all the pressure on her to cancel her, and even the government was weaponized against her and other journalists like her.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
Yep.
I would, and that's just it. Hunter Biden becomes a very sympathetic character in all of this, to even though they're going to play his, you know, his audio recordings that were for his book,
yep,
in which he's confessing to being wildly, addicted to crack cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he becomes a very sympathetic character in all of this, and that diffuses the issue of the tax trial that's upcoming in California, and nobody's talking about Burisma or all the millions he made when he was on that Burisma board when the big guy, Big Daddy, was the Veep.
Yep. 855-839-1210. We'll get to some news in hour number two. And then also, ESPN allowing identity politics to sabotage their own network. We're back after this on Kale & Company.
Start your day with Kale & Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.